Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on excitotoxins when we come back. The lessons on courtroom strategy and procedure that you hear on this program are just a small part of my 2-week basic courtroom strategy and procedure school, and this school includes lessons on what to do and what not to do at the arrest or when you are served with a summons, a citation, or a complaint. And rule number one is don't say anything, keep your mouth shut, and then shut up. If you can learn rule one, you can win about 90% of your legal cases. That's right, about 90%. And that's because all of the evidence that's ever going to be used against you is going to be furnished by you. Now, your government is fully capable of making their own case without your help. So don't give the prosecution the victory. At least make them work for it. Now listen to what the courts have to say about keeping quiet in the face of police interrogation, or in fact, in many cases, police intimidation. One judge put it this way. He said, "Who would believe the ironic truth that the cooperative taxpayer fares much worse than the individual who relies upon his constitutional rights?" And he said that in U.S. versus Dickerson. Now, the second judge put it this way. He said, "You can and must keep your mouth shut for protection under the Fifth Amendment." And he said that in Belknap versus United States. And the third judge told us this. He says, "This constitutional privilege was intended to shield the guilty and the imprudent, as well as the innocent and the farsighted." And he said that in Marchetti versus United States. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, and it's informative. Best of all, it's free. That number again is 417-273-4967. Now, our school, Courtroom Strategy and Procedure, is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. Excitotoxins. That's an odd word. Excitotoxins. It's a word used by neurosurgeons and other healthcare professionals to describe a class of drugs. It's a drug. It's a drug that's manufactured by the thousands of tons and put into our food supply to enhance the flavor. Now, there is a natural product called glutamate, which comes out of seaweed. And that's why we're using all of this MSG. The purpose for MSG is to make it taste good. So I told you in previous programs in the series that a Japanese chemist synthesized the process for making MSG chemically. That makes it a witch's brew. See, if you take foods that are natural, like sugar, in a natural form called honey, you cannot overdose on it. But if you synthesize it down, then you can overdose on it. So when God gave us all of the green herbs on planet Earth, I mean, he thought that we could probably handle that. I mean, you know, there's always going to be some abuses. You know, there are people that, you know, that drink too much. They drink too much alcohol. The objective here is to drink alcohol responsibly and enjoy the fruits of it. In other words, you know, there's good things in life. Sex is a good thing. It was a hell of a neat invention. But it needs to be used, you know, with responsibility. And alcohol is a good thing. God himself turned six water pots into wine at a wedding feast. I mean, I guess if he could turn water into wine, I guess he could have turned the water into Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper or into milk if he'd have so desired. But evidently, you know, he thought wine was a pretty good drink. And so he turned it into a good vintage wine. But, you know, no drunkard shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, the scripture tells us. And so it requires responsibility. And this thing called MSG is an excitotoxin. It's actually a natural product. It comes from seaweed. It tastes good. It enhances flavors. It's called glutamate. And we've learned here that Dr. Blaylock has pointed out that we just overdid it. You know, caffeine is probably, you know, small amounts is probably good for you. But, you know, we Americans, we ingest way too much caffeine. And I did a series of programs here on caffeine. You know, a little bit's good, but, you know, a whole lot isn't better. And so there's some side effects that come from it. There's side effects that come from caffeine. There's side effects that come from alcohol. There's side effects that come from improper use of sex, like gonorrhea, AIDS, herpes, venereal disease. You know, the right use of sex works fine, and the wrong use of it comes back and bites us in the butt. And the same thing is true here with MSG. Now, the MSG oven by itself isn't against the law. But the synthesizing of it, turning it into a drug, is called witchcraft in the Bible. Witchcraft is prohibited conduct. So you ought to avoid witchcraft. You ought to avoid MSG, at least in its chemical form. Now, you know, if you can get the MSG in its natural form, that's fine. Glutamate comes in other foods, and that's fine. But in the last program, we were taking a look at ALS. Now, this is called Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a god-awful hard way to die. These Alzheimer's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, and Parkinson's, you know, if there's any way that you can die without dying from those three, you ought to avail yourself of it. Now, we're all going to die. I'm not claiming to have eternal life. But when I die, I want to die in my sleep at age 110 without knowing anything about it. I want to go to bed about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then don't wake up. And I think that's the best way to go. Now, we've been hearing about, and Dr. Blaylock in the book called Excitotoxins. If you want a copy of the book, it's called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. And the author is Russell L. Blaylock. You can just go to your bookstore and tell them, hey, give me this book. It's published in 1997, and I'm promoting it. I'm promoting it because the FDA won't. And the Congress and the FDA and the White House are working hard to keep this information from you. The food manufacturers, they go to Congress and they lobby hard to get laws passed so that you can't find out what's in this book. I mean, that's suppression of the truth. And even if the book isn't true, it's suppression of free speech. I'm opposed to both. And so he's been telling us about this MSG here in the book, and I suggest that if you can't find a copy locally and you want this underground book, it comes from BraveNewBookstore.com. So if you're online, go to BraveNewBookstore.com, tell them what you're looking for. Or if you're in Austin, Texas, or I guess for that matter any place else, they got a phone number down there. It's 512, it's the area code, 512. The number is 480-2503. That's 512-480-2503. It's called Brave New Bookstore. They're at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705. Once more, that's 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, in Austin, Texas. They're within a stone's throw of the University of Texas campus. So I throw that out there in case you can't find the book, you know, in your local bookstore over here. There's an underground bookstore over here that they'll get it for you. And Dr. Blaylock here, he points out that in the real world out here, there's a thing here called MSG, and it comes in various other forms. And there's 26 forms of MSG, and they hide it from you. That's the thing that just galls me. They call it monosodium gluconate, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, hydrolyzed plant protein extract, sodium caseinate, calcium caseinate, yeast extract, textured protein, autolyzed yeast, hydrolyzed oat flour, and that's the tip of the iceberg, and that's what's deceiving us all. And so on page 255, Dr. Blaylock puts in all of the code words and buzzwords so that when you're reading the label, you know, you can reach in your purse. I gave a copy up to my wife. She put it in her purse. She reads real good. My wife went to school. She reads just real good. And she has the list in her purse. I pointed out in the last program, I happened to be in here looking at refried beans yesterday. And I noticed that there were several brands of refried beans here in the store. So I looked at the labels. And sure enough, several of the brands, Taco Bell is one. They've got a couple of bad things in there. They've got hydrolyzed yeast. Hydrolyzed vegetable protein, that's what it was. Hydrolyzed vegetable protein in their refried beans. That's MSG. And then they've got soybean oil. Now, that was another bad one over here. That's got a genetically modified organism. So we, you know, many of us want to avoid that. And so I want to help you if you are of a mind to avoid that. And in the last program, I started drawing the conclusion together, connecting the dots between MSG and these three primary killers, these neurologic killers. Now, I've mentioned to you the amount that we Americans are eating. Now, listen to this. This is going to blow you away. What's most important is that their highest blood levels occurs following ingestion of MSG. Apparently, people who are destined to develop this Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, have difficulty metabolizing ingested glutamate. If they eat any food containing glutamate or aspartate, their blood levels of this toxic amino acid become extremely elevated. Should they eat food manufactured in the United States, most likely it will contain a multitude of excitotoxins. Notice the terms here. He says a multitude of excitotoxins. So it's not just MSG. There's 26 forms of it, and there could be a multitude. I pointed out the 26 in previous programs. It's on page 255 of the book. If you don't do anything else but get a copy of the list of MSG ingredients, it'll be well worth your money. If it's $50, if $50 is worth avoiding MSG, avoiding ALS, avoiding Alzheimer's disease, avoiding Parkinson's, I think it's $50 well spent. But hey, listen to how much of this stuff you're eating every day. Now, this is what blew me away. He says, I estimate that the typical American diet contains 10 to 20 grams of excitotoxins a day. When I read that to you in the first segment, I said, hey, wait a minute. It must be 10 or 20 grams a year. No, it's every day. Every day. Now, listen, 28 grams is an ounce. 28 grams is an ounce. I mean, your food is loaded with this stuff. Now, the glutamate, oven by itself, is not a toxic poison. It's actually a food, but like nicotine. You know, a little bit of nicotine is probably a good stimulant. A little bit of caffeine is probably a good stimulant. But what we Americans do over here, you know, if a little bit of something's good, we just got to go whole hog. And so we ingest way too much caffeine and we get deleterious effects. We ingest way too much nicotine and we get bad effects. We ingest way too much glutamate and we're getting bad effects from it. So it's necessary to cut back. You know, soda pop, I don't mind drinking a soda pop once in a while. But Americans today are drinking so much soda pop that it has unleashed upon us an epidemic of diabetes. Now, you know, if that's what you want to do, get after it. But, you know, I just wanted to throw a little word of caution out there that there are limits that we're all constrained by. There's a limit as to how much sugar your body can metabolize? And the answer is that your body can metabolize 3 teaspoons per day. In a 24-hour period, you can take 3 teaspoons of CNH pure cane sugar, ingest that, and your body can dispose of it in 24 hours. In theory, you could do that every day of your life, 365 days a year, forever, and it wouldn't cause any deleterious effects. 1 can of soda pop contains 9 teaspoons. Some of it contains as much as 18 teaspoons. That's called Jolt. And if you put too much in there, then your pancreas cannot exude, cannot deliver enough insulin, and therefore your body then starts to break down. Your pancreas doesn't work right. You develop diabetes, and, you know, then you get bad results. So I'm not an evangelist, not sitting here telling you how much sugar you need to eat or avoid. Hey, listen, I'll leave that to the politicians and the pharmaceutical companies and the paid professionals that make their livings off of it. But as an investigative reporter, I think I ought to tell you that the average American is consuming up to 20 grams of these excitotoxins every day. Now, we don't know, like with sugar, 3 teaspoons is the max. I don't know how much your body can dispose of these excitotoxins. But based upon what we're seeing here with the epidemic of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and to a lesser degree, ALS, it looks like we have reached that maximum. And these diseases are growing. They're growing dramatically. Now listen to this. This is the one that really ought to catch your attention. Some individuals will consume much higher amounts of MSG. A study done in Korea found that the average per capita consumption of MSG was 4 grams per day, with some individuals consuming as much as 120 grams in a 24-hour period. This is an enormous amount of neurotoxins, even for those able to metabolize glutamate normally. Now, just take 120 grams, that's 120, divide that by 28, and that's 4.2. These people in Korea now, they tested a bunch of them, are taking as much as 4 ounces of this MSG into their bodies every day. Okay, this just defies description. I mean, 20 to 30 is more than your body can handle based upon what we see in the statistics with Parkinson's and ALS and Alzheimer's disease. And some people are up to 120. I mean, it's almost like, you know, this guy wants Parkinson's. If you want to get Parkinson's or Alzheimer's disease, consume 4 ounces of MSG a day. It ought to do the trick. In fact, it should almost guarantee it. Now, there are some people that have a glutamate sensitivity. Now, my boy Dirk has a sensitivity to gluten. So he can't eat bread. You know, normal people eat bread. You know, they'll go in and have a Big Mac. You know, there's bread he can't eat that bread. So he has these allergies, and there are people like that. Well, there are people that are sensitive to this glutamate. Don't know exactly why it is, but they have higher sensitivity to it. I don't know how you tell. And so I'm just going to presume that I'm one of those that has this inherited glutamate sensitivity. Now, here's a word here. I'm going to count the letters for you. Oftentimes, and I guess the author needs to use this word. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 letters in the word. Seems to me the longest word in the English language, 32 letters. This one's got 20. It's called olivopontocerebellar degeneration. I hope I pronounced that right. Olivopontocerebellar degeneration is a rare inherited condition that can appear anywhere from age 12 to 52, with 38 as the average age of onset. Most cases eventually develop, or most cases develop a severe loss of balance called ataxia, spasticity of the legs, and Parkinson's type symptoms. Now, what makes this disease especially interesting is that it represents a neurodegenerative disease caused by an inborn defect in an important enzyme. This enzyme, known as glutamate dehydrogenase, GDH, plays a vital role in converting glutamate, the excitotoxin, into glutamine, the inactive storage form of glutamate. Studies of patients with OPCA demonstrate that their white blood cells and their fibroblasts, that special cells in the skin, are deficient in glutamate dehydrogenase. All right, I'm not going to get into the technicalities here and bore you to tears, but I wanted to read that paragraph so that you could see that there are certain people who have a sensitivity to this glutamate to start with. Just like people have certain sensitivities to certain foods and have food allergies, and they got to avoid them. So on the packages, oftentimes it'll say this product is manufactured in a facility that manufactures peanuts or other nuts. Now right away, you know, you'd sit there and say, well, so what? Most of us eat peanuts, but there are people out there that are sensitive to peanuts, and it throws them into, you know, violent reactions. You know, they may have seizures or something on that order. And so there's a warning label, and on that warning label it says, hey, watch out to all you people that are sensitive to peanuts. And so what they're telling you here is there's people that are that have an inherited glutamate sensitivity. Now, the sensitivity may not manifest itself in sneezing or coughing or watering eyes, or it may manifest itself in the degeneration or the death of cells in your brain that doesn't manifest itself until you're age 54 and you can't remember your way home from work. And then all of a sudden somebody says, oh my God, old Bob is suffering from Alzheimer's. And you know, by then half the brain cells in this area of your brain are gone, and you have to take rapid, immediate, drastic action. Now, for Michael J. Fox, my guess would be it's too late for him. I don't think that there's anything that can solve his problem at this late date. So let's learn a lesson from Michael J. Fox. Remember, he was the guy that was advocating stem cell research to solve his problem. And I don't blame him. I mean, if I had Parkinson's disease, I would want a solution. And so I took a look at Michael J. Fox, and I said to myself, can I learn from his mistake? I mean, he was out advertising aspartame. He was out advertising diet soft drinks, advertising this artificial sweetener. More than likely, a part of his contract called for the delivery of a ton a year free to his home and wherever he lived. And he probably used lots of it. Now, there's a deleterious effect that comes from it. You could be one of the people, I could be one of the people, that has this glutamate sensitivity. So I don't want to find out by having half of my brain cells killed off, and then when I can't remember my way home, somebody takes me off to the police station. They say, well, Mr. Gordon, you live in Isabella. And I say, where's that? And they say, well, Gordon, you know, he's lost it. Let's take him to the hospital. And somebody says, hey, oh, Gordon's got Alzheimer's disease. I don't want to find that out. So, on page 123, there's a story here about inherited glutamate sensitivity and how you can take a look at yourself and see if you're one of those. I think it's well worth finding out. Now, there's a number of other diseases in here, like Huntington's disease. You're not very likely to come down with Huntington's chorea. But, you know, it's one of the many neurologic diseases, and all of them fit together, and it's called the creeping death, the neurodegenerative diseases. Now, in Chapter 6, it starts off, Alzheimer's disease, a classic case of excitotoxin damage. I thought I'd spend a little time here, and let's cover a little bit of information about Alzheimer's. About 3 million people in the country have it. So, it's not a, you know, it's about 1%. The last number I saw, I think I saw 3 million. If it's gone up and it's twice that, then 2% have it. So, your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease aren't great to start with. It isn't very great. But it's growing by leaps and bounds. And so, some numbers I saw here some time back, they said, well, in the year 2030, we expect it to grow by two or three times what it is today. So if it's, you know, I just pick a number, it's 1% today, and it's going to grow by two or three times that, it's going to be 2 or 3% of the population in the year 2030, which is what? 23 years away. So if you're a young person in your 20s or 30s, that's going to affect you. So your chances of coming down with this, and it's a god-awful hard way to die, this Alzheimer's disease. You know, it's growing, and so if you want to avoid it, we can identify one of the causes of it. Now, it's suspected that aluminum is one of them, so I avoid aluminum. And then it's expected, it's suspected here that it's monosodium glutamate, aspartate, and a number of other excitotoxins that are in our foods. And so I make it a point to avoid those. Now, that does not guarantee that I won't come down with Alzheimer's disease. But it takes me a lot closer to success than failure by avoiding some of the known causes or contributing factors to it. And so that's the point of our discussion here of these excitotoxins. Now, there are more than 25 million persons over the age of 65 living in the United States. Of these, 11%, or approximately 2,700,000, suffer from mild to moderate dementia, and almost 5% are severely demented. But not all of these severely demented individuals have Alzheimer's disease. About 55% will have Alzheimer's disease, and the rest will have dementia caused by multiple small strokes called multi-infarct dementia, or a combination of Alzheimer's disease and strokes. All right, so strokes come into play. Now, what's causing these strokes? He doesn't get into that, but I would submit to you, could it be that it's also caused by these excitotoxins? Why do I say that? Because it causes lesions. A lesion is a bleeding. It's a cut in your vein. And what are these lesions in the brain caused by? Well, they take a look at animals, and they feed them MSG. And then they look in their brains and they've got little lesions in there. They got little bleedings in their brain. Little mini strokes. That's the connecting link. Or one of them. So you eat a lot of this MSG and it causes these leakages of blood out of your veins, out of your arteries, or out of your little veins up in your brain. That's not good. And so here in the very first paragraph, he lays it out. He says, hey, listen, you know, this is what we observe in animal. This is what happens when you eat MSG. Human beings are more susceptible to it than the animals. Therefore, we conclude that this MSG is bad for you. All right, so you can be your own best judge as to how you want to interpret this information. Hey, I got to give you a report here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. From the scriptural perspective, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to the homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. That can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The sources of information that we use on this program are true. They're accurate. They're correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give out do not mean that the authors and publications that we endorse and recommend will reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, they could be secular, they may be political, they could be religious or economic, they can be sectarian, racial, or they can be ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the book. It's called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills by Russell Blaylock, published 10 years ago in 1997. You can get a copy of it from the Brave New Bookstore. You can get them from online at bravenewbookstore.com. That's assuming you can't get it locally. I'm not pushing Brave New Bookstore. They don't pay me for my promoting their bookstore. But the reason I do that, and I will continue to, is because they handle a large number of underground books. The kind of books that you cannot get or are actively suppressed by major bookstores and distributors and totally ignored by the mainstream press. Books like this one are not out there in the marketplace, and they're not being actively promoted, and I think they should be, because it contains vital information that you need and ought to have available to you, and it ought not to be suppressed. That's just my personal opinion. Now, the Brave New Bookstore agrees with that opinion, and they stock these books, or if they don't stock them, they'll get it for you. See, they can order these. They're connected. Then the publisher here, let's see who's publishing this book. Oh, shucks. It's published by Health Press in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Health Press, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Not exactly Bantam Books, you know, but it's not copyright 1997 by Russell Blaylock, M.D. Published by Health Press, P.O. Box 37. 470 in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and their zip code is 87176. Let's see what else is good in here. All right. I don't see anything else you necessarily need. If you can't get it from your local bookstore, Barnes & Noble, or online someplace, or a used bookstore, usually when a book is 10 years old like this one, there's lots of copies out there. You go to a used bookstore, and you can get it for half price or a fourth of the price. You know, and I'm always interested in saving money, but if for some reason you can't find the book, then I suggest that you get online, bravenewbookstore.com. If you're in Austin, Texas, they're at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705. And their phone number is 512, for those of you that don't have online access. Phone number is 512, it's area code, 480-2503. Again, that's area code 512, and the number is 480-2503. Talking about Alzheimer's disease, it's a classic case of excitotoxin damage. Now, a lady whose husband got Alzheimer's disease said this to the Congress. It was a joint congressional hearing on Alzheimer's disease. And she said, "I can tell you that it is like a funeral that never ends. My husband was a handsome, vital, athletic man. He was a civic leader, a public speaker, a highly respected businessman. He was administrative vice president of his company. He is now a statistic. He is permanently hospitalized, not knowing his family or speaking a word in the past 4 years. He requires total care as the physical deterioration takes its toll. I have a husband, but I speak of him in the past tense. I'm not a divorcee. I am not a widow. Where do I fit?" Now, I'm not sure that the person who has Alzheimer's disease has any awareness as to what his problem is. But the people who have to take care of this Alzheimer's patient, did you hear her words? She said, "It's like a funeral that never ends. My husband was a handsome, vital, athletic man. Now he is a living vegetable. He just sits there and stares ahead. He can't talk. He can't answer. He can't, you know, I guess the guy can hear you. And probably his ears work, but there's no cognitive response. The guy probably has no bladder control. He has to wear diapers. He probably has no bowel control. So therefore, like a little baby, he has to be, has to have his diaper changed. You know, here's a guy, probably 200 pounds. He's totally hospitalized. He wears diapers and has to be totally cared for until he dies, and it may take 10 or 15 years. This care is expensive. It costs a lot of money. That's why I said I think it's a god-awful hard way to die. Now, I mentioned in an earlier broadcast, I said the people who are doing this, that is the Food and Drug Administration and the food manufacturers, are worse than animals. And I pointed out, I said, I wouldn't do that to an animal. I wouldn't do that to a coon killing my chickens. I will kill the coon, but I wouldn't torture him in that way. I'll kill a possum killing my chickens, but I would not treat an animal like that. And the Food and Drug Administration, who's fully aware of what they're doing and what these excitotoxins do to people and the connecting links, connecting the dots, fully aware. I don't know that President Bush has the cognizance. I don't know if he's read this book. I don't know if he's read other books. But if he has, then he's responsible for his actions. People who are in positions of authority, people that are in positions of power, should do that for people who are not in positions of power because it's the right thing to do. Poisoning people with MSG is not the right thing to do. People who are poisoning themselves because of their ignorance are culpable. They're not innocent. They have a duty to inform themselves. They ought to spend the time to find out, which is the purpose for our broadcast, is to give you an opportunity to find out. Somebody should blow the whistle, raise your attention, say, "Did you know?" Now, sometimes people write me nasty letters. Whenever I put on a program, we get response. And some people write me a letter and they say, "Mr. Gordon, you're a saint. You're an angel. You walk on water. God bless you. Thank you so much." And then some people write me a letter and they say, "You know, you're about as dumb as a box of rocks. You're unscientific. You're anti-government. You haven't got a head that thinks. You're just plain stupid," and blah, blah, blah. And then they'll explain to me why it is I'm so damn wrong, because I haven't done my research or don't know what I'm talking about, or blah, blah, blah. You know. And I got to confess, you know, in some cases the guy's right. I don't know any more about MSG than you do. I'm not a neuroscientist. I'm not a surgeon. I'm a reporter. But, you know, I don't have to have a degree in neuroscience to come to a conclusion about poison. I have never taken arsenic. Well, at least not intentionally. I never sat down and said, gee, let's sprinkle some arsenic on my pizza and see how it tastes. It's been reported to me that arsenic is a deadly poison, kills you, and it's a damn hard way to die. I avoid arsenic. I do everything in my power to avoid arsenic. Fortunately, arsenic isn't being put into my pizza. Arsenic isn't being put into my food supply. It isn't being put into my Coca-Cola. At least I don't know of it. But the MSG is. And the MSG is also toxic, as being reported by numerous sources of what I believe to be relevant, competent authorities that are telling me that. All right. So I'm reporting that to you. So in case you're thinking about writing me an email telling me how stupid I am, hell, I'll admit to that. I'd never claimed to be, you know, super bright. You know, just average intelligence, maybe a little below. Hell, if my IQ is 80, that's probably pretty good for me. But I'm not brain dead. I can read a little bit, and I can put two and two together. I can think out, and I can come to a conclusion. My conclusion is aluminum isn't good for me. You know, when somebody reports to me that when they do autopsies on Alzheimer's patients, they find high concentrations of aluminum in more than half of the cases, that sends me a signal. It says, you know, that's a connecting link. That's a circumstantial piece of evidence that probably if I could avoid aluminum as, you know, as much as is possible, I'm not probably not going to avoid it 100%, but same thing with this glutamate. You're not going to avoid MSG. That's not going to happen. You're not going to, you know, just shut it off and tomorrow you're not going to take any more in. But you could sure limit it. You know, you could put your mind to it and you could avoid taking 4 ounces a day. So the other day when I reported, you know, I thought it was 20 to 30 grams a day. I thought that's what I read. And then until I got to that page again, you know, in my report here to you, I started to think about that in broadcast number one or two, and I said, oh my God, that must be per year. No, sir, it's, and in some cases, people are eating as much as 4 ounces of that stuff a day. And nobody knows what their tolerance level is. That's another factor that comes out of this book. You know, we can see that some people are more susceptible to it. I showed you that in the last program. That sometimes people are susceptible to it and they don't even know. But we can see from past results that families are more susceptible than others, but we don't know why. So there's a lot that isn't known. But boys and girls, there's a lot that is known. And when you connect the dots, which is what the purpose of this program is, it's to connect the dots. MSG is a killer. How many people does it kill? We don't know. I can't sit here and say, you know, it kills a million people a year, or 500,000, or 300,000. We don't know. Nobody gets a death certificate that says died from MSG poisoning. But there's a lot of people dying from Alzheimer's disease. But, you know, not everybody that dies from Alzheimer's disease, you know, is going to die because it was MSG that caused them to have the Alzheimer's. We don't know that either. Again, I got to concede there's a lot we don't know. But, boys and girls, there's a lot we do. And as we connect these dots, the circumstantial evidence says, watch out. Beware. Look up. Pay attention. All right, so let's take a look here a little bit more. There's changes in your brain function with aging. Many lay people believe that as we age, we're doomed to become mentally slow and decrepit. Now, that's not true. Hell, I've got students that are in their 80s, just sharp as a tack. Sometimes, you know, a student comes in here and he's an old man. You know, he's in his 80s. It's an old man to me. I'm pushing 70. I look at the guy, his brain really functions good. This guy's sharp as a tack. Now, I've seen people, you know, in their 30s that aren't as smart, aren't as sharp. I should say sharp. Don't have the cognitive function that people in their 80s do. Just because you get to be 80 or 90 doesn't mean that you have to suffer from dementia. You know, my great-granddad, Abe Snyder, he was as sharp as a tack at age 90 when I met him. I was 6 years old. I can remember that old guy. He had a wit. He was funny. He was telling jokes. You know, he was old and he was a little decrepit and he walked with a cane. But he was mentally very alert. He was not suffering from Alzheimer's disease, and that was in 1947. Now, he wasn't eating very much in the way of MSG back in those days. He didn't have any aspartame. And he was sharp. Now, there were people that were suffering from dementia. They used to call it old age disease. Senility. So it's been around. It's been around for thousands of years. What causes it in every case? We don't know. But we notice that it's getting worse, and it's getting worse by leaps and bounds. Something has gotten into our food supply. Something's gotten into the water. Something's gotten into something. And the most likely culprit, as Dr. Blaylock is pointing out here, it's not the aging process, it is the food that we're consuming. So what's in the food? Well, there's another problem. We've got foodless food. Foodless food. No, you take your wheat and you take all the vitamins and minerals out of it and you feed this guy carbohydrate in the form of white bread called Wonder Bread. Yep, that's not good for you. And it causes a lot of diseases. You know, you may come down with cancer or heart attack or stroke or something else. In the Bible, in the Psalms, it says that wheat is good for your heart. Now, that's a pretty well-known fact. Wheat and wheat products, good for your heart. Builds your cardiovascular system. That's why bread is called the staff of light. But it's not white Wonder Bread. It's whole wheat bread with all of its vitamins, minerals, all of its enzymes, and all of its nutrients. Now, people have been suffering from senility. We know that it isn't just MSG or just aspartame or just excitotoxins. We can all agree with that. But there's something that has exacerbated the problem. Something's on the scene today that wasn't here before. And that's why in this chapter he points out, hey, wait a minute. Of the people that are over 65, 25% of them now are suffering from. That's a fourth. That's one out of four. That's kind of scary. So one of the major causes of the decline in mental acuity and function seen with aging is a lack of involvement in academic and intellectual affairs or using one's mind every day. The brilliant economist Ludwig von Mises continued to produce great economic works even into his 90s. And his student F.A. Hayek, who just recently died in his 90s, produced one of his greatest works just before his death. There's little question that a significant part of their ability to persevere, their mental acuity, was their unending involvement in intellectual pursuits. Now, history is filled with stories of brilliant men and women who continue to produce intellectually well into their advanced years. Experimentally, we know that growth of the dendritic, that's an odd word, processes associated with learning is stimulated by increased use of the brain and continues well into the extremes of age. The brain in this way is much like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the more powerful it becomes. Thinking is the exercise of the mind. And Henry Ford once said that thinking is the hardest form of work. That's why so few engage in it. That's a hell of a good line. Henry Ford once said thinking is the hardest form of work. God bless you, Henry. Let me underline that. Tuck that one away. That's why so few people engage in thinking then. It's hard work. As we grow older, we often grow intellectually lazy. Rather than memorize a list of things to do, we write them down. With the rapid growth of using electronic tools, that often obviate the necessity for concentrated thought, the lazier we become. Electronic calculators, computers, and other technologies keep us from fully using our brains. And there's also growing evidence that those with declining intellectual function, other than Alzheimer's disease, often have suffered from multiple insults to the brain. For example, many elderly have experienced several strokes by the time they reach their middle to late 60s. Often these strokes are silent. The person may be totally unaware that anything has even happened. A stroke results when a brain artery is blocked, thereby depriving that part of the brain of its blood supply. If the blocked vessel is a major artery, such as the carotid artery in the neck, a serious stroke occurs with paralysis and numbness on the opposite side of the body. But should the blocked vessel be a small artery or vein, not supplying blood to a critical part of the brain, the stroke may be unnoticed. Well, over a long period of time, usually over many years, several of these strokes may occur, until the accumulated damage finally kills off enough brain cells to result in serious malfunction of the brain. It is when this occurs that the elderly seem to deteriorate mentally more rapidly with age. Okay, so there's another factor. But now remember that these little mini strokes are associated with MSG. Tuck that one away. I remember one gentleman who came to my office complaining of difficulty with his memory. He ran a chicken farm and had for years been responsible for all of the details of the business, which included a lot of facts and figures. Of late, he had been unable to recall the number of newly purchased feeders. His forgetfulness seemed to increase over the last several months to the point where it was interfering with his business. I sent the gentleman for an MRI scan of his brain. I suspected that he had a dementia of early onset and that was most likely caused by something other than Alzheimer's. Sure enough, his scan confirmed that he was suffering from multiple small strokes that over the years had taken their toll. These strokes appeared on his scan as multiple lucent, luminous areas scattered throughout his brain. I knew that over time, more of these strokes were likely to appear, further impairing his mental abilities. What causes this? Anybody ever thought that maybe God was telling you the straight truth when he said, don't eat pork, don't eat shellfish? You know, shellfish are loaded with heavy metals. And that's their bottom feeders, and that's their job. So I said I'd throw that out there. In the Bible, Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, tells us what to eat and what not to eat. Now, science comes into the picture, and I haven't heard any scientific reasons for not eating pork. If I hadn't seen it in the Bible, I wouldn't know. Hell, I used to eat pickled pig's feet regularly with my granddad. I was raised on pork. My grandmother never cooked a pot of beans without a ham hock. I'm not a virgin from Hollywood when it comes to pork. But I took a look at that in the scripture and I said, gee, what if there is in fact a God? You know, just in case. I always like to be, careful. Just in case we didn't evolve and just in case there is a God and just in case we were created and just in case the creator over here came up with an idea that the fuel that you put into your body is pretty important. I look at a can of refried beans and I see it's made with lard. I haven't seen any scientific studies on lard or that lard causes mini strokes or that lard plugs up your arteries. But I see it in the Bible. And when I saw it in the Bible, I said, yeah, it's kind of like buying a new car. I've got one out here that's fair to middle and new, and there's an owner's manual in the jockey box. And it tells you to put in unleaded fuel. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, gee, I wonder if the guy that made this car knows more about it and more about the fuel that goes into it and how it functions and how it operates than I do. Boy, you don't have to be very smart to know more about a car than little Georgia here. I'm about as car dumb as you can get. And so, just to be on the safe side, I assumed that the engineer that designed my car out here was probably more knowledgeable about it and about what kind of fuel to put in it. And so I've been very careful. It calls for unleaded fuel. As a result of that, I have never put diesel in that. I don't know whether it'll run on diesel or not. I don't know if it'll run on half gas and half diesel or a quarter and three quarters. I've never tested it. Never entered my mind. I actually believe that the manufacturer, General Motors, knows more about what kind of motor oil to stick out there under the hood than I do. I could experiment. I mean, I could put all kinds of stuff out there into the engine, and it would probably work for a while, or it might work even better. I don't know. I might accidentally, kind of like the miracle of random selection. I mean, I might just select some new liquid to stick out there in the engine randomly, accidentally, and the engine would last longer and run better. But we do know that it runs on 30 weight Pennzoil. Now, that's what the manufacturer recommended, and so that's what I've been putting in there. So far, the service has been pretty good. All right, now, you probably do the same thing. You probably put into your automobile engine what is recommended by the manufacturer or the owner's manual. You probably put the kind of fuel into your automobile that's recommended by the manufacturer. And by doing so, you're probably getting fair to middle and service out of the car. Why don't you experiment a little bit? I mean, just because General Motors says that unleaded fuel is what you should be putting in this hole, why don't you try some number two diesel next time you fuel up and see how your car runs? Maybe by accident and random selection, you can come up with a better fuel. Now, I don't know of anybody that would believe that as it relates to an automobile, but for some reason, people seem to believe that as it relates to their bodies. If you evolve from green slime and there is no God, hey, listen, experimentation is the only thing you've got open to you. But if in fact you were created, then you've got a revelation. I mean, you've got an owner's manual here. It's called the Bible. And so that's what I've been using. So that's why I avoid lard in my refried beans. And that's why I avoid pork, shellfish, and other foods that are not prescribed in the scripture. Now, this scientist, this Dr. Blaylock, is reporting on a chicken farmer who's got a lot of lesions in his brain. And it's caused by these little mini strokes. These little mini strokes may be caused by the MSG, or they could be caused by something else. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for your consideration, that in the Bible, there are two chapters, Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, which will give you a pretty good guide as to what kind of food, what kind of fuel you should be putting into your body. And it doesn't cost you anything, and you probably have a copy of it right there in your home. You won't even have to go to the bookstore and buy a copy of the Bible. Hey, we're about out of time again. We need to give you a final reminder that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet, and we're heard daily. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to get one. You simply call 417-273-4967 and order. That number again is 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Remember, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night with the concluding chapter. So, until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.